Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it.
Hello and welcome back. This is Consider This Northumberland, and I'm your host, Robert Washburn, and you're listening to Northumberland 89.7 FM. In May, the health unit says there were between 1 and 4 deaths. There were also close to 30 emergency room visits where a drug overdose was suspected. None of this counts for the police and ambulance calls. Those are some of the highest numbers we have seen since a year ago. As you will hear in this interview, Dane Record, the executive director of the Peterborough AIDS Resource Network, will tell you he's not surprised. In his role with the Haliburton Kawartha Lakes and Northumberland Drug Strategy, he sees it firsthand. The group has faced a low profile during the pandemic. It did a lot of work from 2016 to 2019 after it received a $285,000 grant to create a strategy to help battle the opioid crisis locally. A public meeting was held in Port Hope last week. It is the first time in 3 years. You will want to hear how it went and what was said. And you will be interested in its plans going forward as local activists and leaders work to find solutions to the crisis. I'm so pleased to welcome back Dan Record, Executive Director of PARN, that's the Peterborough AIDS Resource Network. Glad to have you back on Consider This Northumberland.
Thank you for welcoming me back. Hello, everybody.
I want to talk to you today in your role with the Haliburton Kawartha Lakes Northumberland Drug Strategy. And I was wondering if you could describe the current situation as it pertains what some people would call a drug crisis or the opioid crisis in Northumberland County.
Sure. So the HKLN drug strategy, just to shorten it, has been around for a number of years in a couple iterations. Right now we are in steering stage. So just re-energizing and getting things going as a steering committee. The drug strategy in HKLN has been around since about 2017 and was pretty active until COVID hit. The work that the strategy does and strives to do is to address the impacts of opioid and drug-related poisonings in Haliburton, Kawartha Lakes, and Northumberland, and really speaks in response, also in reaction to what we're seeing on the ground and in the community. Now, being employed with PARN and knowing the work that we've been doing, we have seen an increase in drug-related poisonings and opioid-related harms since 2018. We have seen a fair number of poisonings and suspected drug-related poisonings where we have been contacted afterward and asked to provide some insight and advice. And so with the re-energizing of the drug strategy, PARN is taking the role as the one of the frontline know-it-alls as we continue to learn what's happening and what the trends are in the three counties.
I guess the word that really stands out for me is the notion that this is a crisis within our community. Do you think that's a fair characterization?
You know, I wouldn't take it as crisis with a large C, but I would view it and deem it as something that is certainly something of an emergency. What we're having is that folks are experiencing harm, experiencing drug-related poisonings and just drug-related interactions where organizations such as, you know, PARN, police services, hospitals and health units and such are coming in, coming together, getting involved and saying, hey, look, what else is going on here? The crisis as it is provincially, you know, the latest data that came out was saying that young people have experienced opioid-related poisonings triple the rate as the last marker in 2011. Now, you know, it's been quite a while, but it also speaks a lot to, you know, what is happening and what we are seeing in the communities, in our respective communities. We are seeing situations where young folks or younger folks are exiting care. So may for example, be wards of the state and are ill-equipped with the resources to have a greater quality of life. And so anything that would have been kept and harbored for why there may have been a situation of being a child of the state, we now see it when we're addressing and responding to harms. We're seeing where we're having incidents of younger folks and older folks interacting and connecting, not always in the kindest of ways, but, you know, looking at some of those root matters. You know, we talk about and we're talking about the drug strategy, opioid related harms, but we're also having to have greater discussions about the impact of insecure housing and the impact of the economy and inflation. It's not just where, you know, I've chatted a lot about younger people the last minute or so, but we're seeing the impacts right across the community, right across the spectrum, where we're having families of many different types, be it traditional, nuclear chosen, where the impacts of the economy, of the communities, of just some of the discrimination related to maybe being a person using drugs or being a person who may be in care and being assisted. We're seeing some of those impacts as we dig deeper. Unfortunately, we see it play out in the form of a drug poisoning.
In May, the health unit says there were between 1 and 4 deaths in our region. And there were also close to 30 emergency room visits where a drug overdose was suspected in that same period. None of this counts for the police or the ambulance calls. So those are some of the highest numbers we've seen since almost a year ago. This year, a steady rise in the number of cases is coming into emergency rooms. In terms of trends, how do you interpret those statistics? What does it have you concerned about? Is it got you thinking about?
Thing that's concerning is just the data itself, just as you noted. But something that does give me hope is that the drug strategy as it is and as it's being reinvigorated, the conversations are coming back to the community. The input, the expertise are returning to the folks who live it and do it, it being the work. And so even with the numbers being as illustrated, what I'm hopeful about are the opportunities that come with hearing from the folks on the front lines that we may not see and hear about, who have the experience, who know how to respond to drug-related harms, who know how to intervene and intercept when there's a situation where an individual may experience a crisis or may experience harm. It's important as we all do this work, and it really is us all. This is inclusive of you, me, those of us on the front line, and also the residents. It really is important for us to be understanding and listen to the experiences and the expertise of the folks who are living in our neighborhoods, who are responding to and really helping to prevent loss, prevent death. What I'm really hopeful of, just judging from the conversation last week, I'm sure we'll get to that, is that there will be more forums and more opportunities to receive that expertise, so we can, going forward, have a greater holistic response to drug-related harms and opioid overdoses in the HKLN region.
Before we talk about the more recent activities, the drug strategy received $285,000 in a Trillium Foundation grant to start the work in 2016, and it was a three-year project. When you look back, what were the tangible results that were manifest from that three-year project? What changed?
Certainly. So during that time, being able to have a dedicated coordinator to work on the strategy, so to provide direction and insight and expertise to other service providers on how to do the work better, that went a really long way in providing a coordinated response in the HKLN region. What's really come out of that as well, something that was a great success, is that while there is the one strategy that I'm speaking of here, there's a number of other strategies, other working groups and committees that are happening in more than one county. So just in Northumberland alone, like when I think about some of the work happening with the Northumberland Drug User Group, some of the work happening with Greenwood Coalition and their continuous advocacy and grassroots leadership in town and community, these aren't because of the grant, but it certainly helped illuminate for the folks, like the service providers and the service organizations, really illuminated the existing efforts for us to be able to do some coordinated work. I would be remiss to not mention some of the work that's happening in the Northeast, so in Halliburton County. The amount of work that is happening and the amount of success that folks are not seeing, it's not because nobody's talking about it, it's because we're not out there as often as we can be. But again, if it wasn't for opportunities such as having one dedicated coordinator to really take a look at the lay of the land, the trends in the community, and the service connections, we wouldn't know what's happening in other areas. It could well have been just it's just a 401 corridor, we'll just leave it alone. But we're talking about a coordinated effort here. And from 2016 and forward, we just continue to see that success. I know organizationally, PARN has seen quite an increase in our service ability, going from one worker, one harm reduction worker working two and three counties to having now one worker dedicated to working in coordination with other organizations in each county.
So how would you describe then the current form of the drug strategy? Who are the people that are working on this now, and how is it functioning now?
Sure. So currently, we're in steering committee. We're in a steering committee phase. So getting things really up and going. Safe to say that we're going forward. It's a team, or it's a strategy made up rather of a number of police services, a number of police organizations local to HKLN, including OPP. We have the health unit, HKPR, district health unit that's in the mix. We have a number of clinical organizations, clinical agencies that are involved. And then we have other social service agencies such as PARN and Transition House and other organizations who are involved, be it directly or indirectly, but have a genuine interest in not just addressing, but working actively to be a strong assist in preventing death related to opioids and drug-related poisonings.
Just last week, the drug strategy group held a community conversation at Port Hope High School. Can you tell us what was the substance of that meeting and what public input did you get?
Sure. So in fairness, I was not able to attend myself. So just for folks, I live in Ajax and Pickering, and on that day, there was a lot happening with traffic. But what I am aware of is that there was a community conversation that took place where the health unit, Dr. Bocking, and police chief for Port Hope Police, and a number of committee members and other members of staff in the community were able to have conversation and field some questions directly from the community. So if there were any concerns or any rumors that would have been up and about related to, why is this happening in our area? Why is this the first time we're hearing it? Or some debunking of some of the information regarding overdose prevention and pop-up prevention opportunities. Last week was the forum to have those discussions. We continue to get dribs and drabs of info, but overall it was a good conversation, and certainly not the last conversation that we'll be engaging with the community. It is worth noting that this was a conversation that happened in Port Hope. We have a number of other municipalities that we want to have conversations with directly with the residents, because if we're having this conversation in Port Hope and Coburg's right next door and it may be similar but different, we want to hear directly from the folks out there. And so last week was just one of a number of opportunities to engage directly with the public, so the public can have a meaningful stake in the work that we strive to do.
Recently, a group of local activists started a harm reduction service on Fridays, and there was a huge outcry and a fierce community debate. Did anyone associated with the drug strategy become involved in this initiative?
No. I will say this, though, on the side of PARN. Parn was aware that this was happening. We found out after the fact, and like we were aware that it was being conducted, led by folks with lived experience, local to the community, who didn't want to see any harms being inflicted on their friends and loved ones. And so organizationally, we're just like, okay, what is needed from Parn? And we've just done what we needed to do as we've been asked by the organizers. And really, it's just make sure that folks know that there are drug poisonings, there are opioid related harms happening in their local community. It's not a Peterborough thing, it's not a Toronto thing. Like, this is happening in our next doors.
Well, I guess what I'm asking you though is that the kind of I'll let you deal with that.
No, go on.
It's okay.
It's going to be always, so go on.
Okay. I guess what I'm trying to get at is it something that would be endorsed by the drug strategy to take those kinds of steps?
Oh, okay. Okay. You know what? I'm not going to answer that question. It's not a question that I can answer fairly or unbiased. And so I'm not going to respond to that one.
So from the public standpoint then, what can we expect to see in Northumberland in the coming days, weeks, and months from the Drug Strategy Group?
Yeah, more information is coming along. We're moving as quickly as we can to provide some insight and education. The communication outlets are to be determined, but certainly with the number of opportunities coming up, I do need to mention World Hepatitis Day, where we'll be doing hepatitis C prevention testing and education. That's happening July 28th. International Overdose Awareness Day is happening August 31st. And that's going to be happening in a number of communities in the HKLN region, where community residents and other folks can have conversations with other folks like myself, to ask the questions that they're looking for. Why is this happening in my community? How do I prevent overdose? Where do I get a naloxone kit? Tell me about how I can be supportive. A number of opportunities that folks can engage in immediately, but from the strategy, we're working on that, and we'll be providing some communication in the coming months.
Dane Record, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
You're very welcome. Have yourself a good one.
That was Dane Record, the Executive Director of the Peterborough AIDS Resource Network. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening, and stay tuned for more from Consider This.